Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Major League Baseball news for those of you waking up right now. Spring training will start July 1st with the 60-game regular season starting the weekend of July 24th through the 26th. That is the expectation here. After talking about Major League Baseball, it feels like every day for months, not actual baseball, but whether there was going to be baseball, it feels like finally we are there. A couple of things here. First of all, Shannon Spake was fantastic. She's always good, but I had to put on my lawyer hat there and ask her a bunch of questions because, frankly, I don't know very much. You want to know questions about, you know, football stadiums or baseball stadiums? I've spent a lot of time there. I had no idea how big the infield was at NASCAR. I think we learned a lot from her, and that was a fantastic guest spot she just did. I'm going to open up phone lines and allow you guys to ask questions based on what she just said. 877-996-6369, obviously surrounding the Bubba Wallace noose incident. Now, have you guys seen my Twitter feed? This has been ricocheting around Twitter a lot, and Shannon spoke to it directly. There is a pull rope on the garages at Talladega, which would allow you to pull down the garage door. Right? If you look, and I just tweeted it out, if you look at the Bubba Wallace rope in his garage, it is noticeably shorter and without the loop in the same way as the garage that is next to him. Is it possible that the rope broke on his garage and that was the noose? All right, I want everybody to look at that picture now. Let's all play Where's Waldo. Look at that picture that I just tweeted out in the crew. NASCAR needs, I believe, to get out in front of this story today. They need to have an investigator answer every question. They need to have either somebody arrested, and if somebody committed a hate crime and they figured out who it is, that person should be banned for life from the sport and also face criminal charges. But also, they need to be able to answer questions for everybody out there who's asking, okay, what is the story here? What is going on? And also, they need to understand that this is the way people respond to stories like these, because there have been stories like these that have not proven to be true. Jussie Smollett, Michael Bennett, even though most people stop paying attention to it, the LeBron racial slur on the gate that the LAPD decided not to press charges on, that immediately got painted over, that there was no evidence of. And if there's not going to be cameras, that's incredibly frustrating, right? The entire purpose of having a camera is to ensure that there's no divergence of stories, that everybody is able to know exactly what happened. So if there's no camera that shows this garage, I don't know how you're going to quote unquote catch anybody in the act, because you can't see what the intent of this might have been. All right, so let me bring in the crew. Danny G, did you see, have you had an opportunity to look at the picture that's tweeted out that is going and circling around the Twitter sphere now from people who cover racing? The Bubba Wallace garage rope is shorter than the one next to it. You see that?
Yeah, I see that.
Is it possible that that rope broke? The other possibility would be somebody came along and cut it and said, oh, I'm going to turn this into a noose, and then they threw it on Bubba Wallace's. I think it's interesting. Shannon said that the NASCAR officials were asked specifically about whether the noose was a part of the garage rope, and didn't answer that question.
Yeah.
So the reason why I'm looking at this is, if we don't have video, which is frustrating, is it – and look, everybody out there is opposed to racism, right? Like, so this is not like, oh, I'm not saying if this didn't happen, racism didn't. No, they're a racist. They certainly – I'm sure they're a racist at NASCAR, just like they're a racist at every place of employment in the country, right? Racism exists. So this is not a racism doesn't exist. What I'm doing is trying to look at the facts of a specific story. When you look at that rope, the Bubba Wallace rope is substantially shorter on the garage, right? Is it possible? And NASCAR has refused to say whether or not that is the rope, that is the noose that they are investigating. Does this look interesting, at least as a part of this discussion to you, Danny G?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth looking at. It is possible. I'm wondering if maybe it was manipulated by some idiot who knew the camera was off. See,
that's why I asked. Yeah, I asked Shannon, the reason why I asked that question is my assumption, and I think most of you would assume as well, when you see a camera, I just assume it's on.
Yeah.
Right? I don't assume that it's turned off because of the coronavirus, and so they're not monitoring things as they ordinarily would. And this was my thing with the LeBron incident. People got mad at me. They're like, why are you asking these questions? LeBron literally had a security camera directly focused on his gate. So when the police showed up, they said, hey, where's the camera footage? And they were like, oh, the camera was off. And I'm like, if you showed up at LeBron James's gate and there's a huge camera right there looking out over you, would you write a racial slur on the gate with the camera right there looking at you? Wouldn't you assume that the camera is on? So whether all these people knew that the cameras were off, I think, is a big part of this story.
Yes.
The cameras being off is a big part of this story.
You can't see all the cameras, though, either. You would just assume, I would think, unless you had inside knowledge, you would think that cameras were recording. Because you remember I went to the Fontana race. What was it? It was February, I think, right before everything got shut down. I had one of those hot passes, so I got to be in the garages, and I went to two garages, the number 24 car because of Kobe, which is William Byron. I took a picture, and I also went to Bubba Wallace's garage because one of my friends who happens to live in Tennessee is a huge Bubba Wallace fan, so I was taking pictures of stuff in his garage. There was absolutely nobody around. The race had already started. No one was in there. There were some TV monitors, so I still got to watch what was going on in the race. But I assumed that cameras...
You were on camera while you were there.
Yeah, because I was around all this expensive equipment.
Because you could have just taken a wrench, theoretically, right? Like, you could have just walked away with something they were working on the car. And so your natural assumption is there has to be security that would see me if I walked over here and took something away.
Exactly. I was standing right there next to Wallace's gear, and I just assumed, there's got to be cameras recording me right now because there's no security guards.
Right.
Obviously, was somebody on the inside or somebody that broke into the track and just did this, you know, and then took off quickly.
Or is it possible that the rope broke, somebody just tossed it over to the side, and then somebody else comes in and thinks, oh my God, this is a noose.
That would
and
be a
NASCAR
crazy
takes
coincidence.
It seriously.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a crazy
The reason why I'm raising that as an issue is they were specifically, according to Shannon, they were specifically asked whether it was the pull rope on the garage that was the noose.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't answer. So if you knew that it was not that, wouldn't you say, no, it wasn't that, it was a different rope? This is what lawyers do, right? People want to immediately rush. They want to put the cart before the horse, right? They want to come running in pell-mell, especially in a social media era, and they want to establish all these different factors, right? Like all the significance of it. And by the way, props to NASCAR for the way they have responded and rallied around Bubba Wallace. But is it possible that there wasn't actually a noose there with the intent? In other words, a lot of people are like, oh, this is faked, right? It's, in this day and age, Doesn't matter what the story is. People on the internet, social media, they're like, oh, this is fake. And then there's other people that are going to be like, oh, this is 100% 100% a hate crime without looking at any of the evidence. Is it possible it's somewhere in the middle? That when you actually look at the data, and I think today's a big day for NASCAR. I tweeted out the picture, if you want to see it for yourself, of Bubba Wallace's garage, because I was asking Shannon questions. I had no idea what these garages look like at Talladega. If you're curious about what that looks like, you can go look at the picture. You can zoom in at Clay Travis. Dub, you're looking at the picture that I tweeted out as well. That pull rope, it does look different on Bubba Wallace's garage than it does on the garage next to it, right?
It is substantially shorter on this photograph. Yeah, I'd say at least half the length, probably less than half the length.
And the end of the rope has like a circle, which would be considered, could be considered, a noose-like circle, right? Like a loop, in other words, where you could like put your finger in. If you think about the old school, like how do you pull a garage door down? Some of them had ropes and some of them have like a circle at the bottom where you could put your fingers in to pull it down. Now, it's possible somebody cut that rope on Bubba Wallace's garage and then threw it intending it to be an insult. It's also possible that that rope was already shorter and was never actually the same as the other ropes. It's also possible that that rope broke and somebody just threw it off to the side. And then when somebody on Bubba Wallace's crew came in, they said, oh my God, there's a noose here. We don't know. That is why NASCAR needs to answer these questions. Is there anything else from that picture that stood out to you, Dub?
I mean, the only thing that really stands out is, I mean, the rope is significantly shorter than the other rope pictured. And I mean, I think the fact that, what Shannon said that when they were asked, NASCAR was, about whether or not the noose was related to that rope, the pull-down rope in the garage, and they didn't answer. I mean, to me, and you just kind of laid that out in your previous statement there, to me, it kind of makes me think that that's probably where the noose came from. Now, whether or not
what the intent,
the intent was,
yes.
That seems to be the real question. But I feel like, I feel like just piecing together all these pictures and ideas, I feel like that has to be the origin of the news. Now, the intent is obviously the bigger question at hand here.
Which is why you need a camera, which maybe wasn't turned on, which makes this potentially more difficult than it otherwise might have been. But to me, if you're asked, if you're NASCAR specifically, directly, was it a rope from the garage door that was potentially considered to be the noose and NASCAR refuses to comment on it? That to me sounds like something that would suggest the answer is yes. Because if you ask something that's 100% not the case, you would think you'd say, no, that's not the where we think the rope came from at all. Eddie, you've had a chance to look at this picture now. As we are doing our own investigation here, this is one of the things that can be positive about social media or negative, is there are lots of different people that want to play detective on the internet with stories like these on social media. The picture appears to be accurate of the Bubba Wallace car there. I tweeted it out because I do find it interesting just to know what the garages look like, because that's one of my first questions. But also, the fact that the rope is right there on his pull door and is substantially shorter than the one next to it, and the fact that NASCAR was specifically asked about this, makes it look like potentially that could be the door, right? What do you think when you look at that picture and that tweet that I sent out?
Well, first off, I want to give major props to Shannon Spake.
She was fantastic.
She was awesome and answered a lot of questions I had, so that was great.
Did I you guys can text me in the middle of an interview. It's kind of hard, or maybe I could throw it out to you guys more so, but was there any question you wish that I had asked her that I didn't? Because I try to ask questions most of the time as if I were a listener. In other words, like if I'm driving around in my car, the questions that I'm trying to ask of guests when we have a story like this that we're trying to unpack is, the question that I would want to be answered. Was there anything that I didn't ask that you wished I had?
No, I think you covered it. And I also think the one thing I really took away and really was questioning was why there was no comment on that specific question about was the noose from a rope, you know, that was attached to the door? Because I've looked at your picture that you tweeted out and a bunch of other pictures as well. And I think your kind of final theory is something that I'm kind of leaning towards now, is it, did someone cut that rope that looks like a noose and put it somewhere to where, you know, it was meant to be offensive to Wallace? That seems
to
make sense.
Or did it break and somebody just tossed it off to the side and maybe it was and not intended to be at a negative and then it's found? Like, right, and this is why you need a video. This is why there needs to be a video to tell us exactly what happened in order to know 100% who did it. Because then, you know, you can actually go in and talk to the person who did it and try to figure out. Like, I think if the video showed somebody with a scissors or a knife and they cut it and then they throw it in the direction of his car or place it on the top of the car or in some way, like, we don't know where this rope was found, right? So in what was the intent of the placing of the rope? All these things are important and go towards helping to explain what exactly happened. Anything else from you, Eddie?
No.
Like, who did this and what was their intent if that rope is the... Like, we need to know all these details because they go towards explaining exactly what was going on. And again, to me... The fact that NASCAR didn't comment when asked about that rope and whether it could have been from the garage pull door is a really interesting question. And again, there are a lot of people who are, I don't believe it. Like, I think it was staged, right? And doesn't matter what the story is on the internet, people don't believe it, right? Like, Elon Musk can send a spaceship to link up with the space station. And if you search on social media, there's like people like, oh, it's all staged. No way this is real, right? That happens. There are also people who are immediately going to believe everything that they read on the internet. And then there's also the possibility, there are three options here, right? It's a hate crime. And whoever did it should be excluded from NASCAR for life and charged with a crime. That's option one. Option two is maybe it's not a intentionally nefarious act. Maybe the garage door broke the cord. It was thrown off to the side. It was later found in Bubba Wallace's garage. And because of the hypersensitivity surrounding him right now, somebody thought, oh my God, this is a threat that's been made against him. This is a noose. And then the other option, which some people believe, is that it's all staged, right? That's, I would say, is there any other possibility? Like, if you are an investigator, you begin with everything that could happen as you look at the facts. Is it fair to say those are the only three possibilities as you look? Anybody think of a fourth possibility? It's a hate crime. It's a broken rope that was, out of an abundance of caution, considered to be something nefarious that was not intended, or it was staged. And those are the three options. I think the staged is the least likely, personally. So that's my opinion, but certainly there are a lot of opinions out there. Can anybody else think of another option than the three that I just laid out?
No.
Danny G, any other options?
I don't think so. Those are the options.
Dub, any other options?
I can't imagine another one other than those three.
Eddie, any other options?
Not that I can think of at this time.
If you're investigating and if you're looking at the facts, those are the three options. What I believe NASCAR needs to do today is either charge someone, let us know who's responsible, or they need to come out and tell us all the details of how this rope was found, where it came from, who discovered it, where it was. All of these things need to be explained today by NASCAR, given all the attention this story has gotten. All right, when we come back, we'll be joined by Petros Papadakis, the saddest man in all of sports talk radio, at The Old P on Twitter.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Shannon Spake, you're walking into a whirlwind here because I've got the most difficult question that has been out there for a while. All right, I just put up the poll question. I'm not going to tell you what the results are yet. Which is the dumber woke statement from yesterday? Deadspin arguing the Masters should have to change its name because of racism, or Brett Favre saying Pat Tillman and Colin Kaepernick are both heroes because, quote, they did something similar? This is the poll question that is up. Nearly, you're going to go Favre.
I have to. Yeah, I mean, to compare. Listen, I understand, the Colin Kaepernick stuff. I understand why he did it. And I, I'm on the football field. I get, the point that he was trying to make and the attention he was trying to bring to the fact that there's not justice. But the fact that Pat Tillman walked away from everything, went over there, I know that he was killed by friendly fire, but gave his life to fight on the front lines. I just, that's a hard one not to kind of go up with.
All right, so the public, I told you this was almost a perfect 50-50 question. So far in the commercial break, 2,500 of you voted. You can go vote at Clay Travis. It's the top tweet that I just sent out. 52% are saying the Masters name change.
Wow.
48% are saying Favre on Tillman and Cap. And here's the thing. When I come up with a poll that I'm like, oh, this is going to be basically 50-50, I know it's a killer question, right? Because everybody's out there like, on the one hand, I'll make this argument. So 52-48 with what's going to eventually be tens of thousands of people voting, this is going to be right up there for a battle for the ages between which is the dumber comment that was made yesterday. So
there's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it everywhere. All right, yeah. So let's go into the actual race itself. Exhilarating. End of the race there. I was watching it live on television, as I imagine a lot of my listeners were. I couldn't even tell who won, right? I mean, I watched it, and then I was like, well, I got to figure out the photo finish. And then we figure out how exactly close it was, 0.07 of a second or something like that, I think was the amount. How crazy and wild was the race itself? That's as exhilarating of an ending as you can get.
Well, I mean, I told you last week that Talladega is, that racetrack is my favorite racetrack to go to, 100%. I told you last week, if you had one race to watch every single year, Talladega would be the one to watch because it's just so amazing. One of my favorite things to do ever when I covered racing was to stand on top of that hauler and to watch those cars go through the front stretch at full speed. And that's honestly one of the reasons why when all of this went down this weekend with Bubba Wallace, it's so hard to defend a place where something like this happened. And that was part of the story for me. And I've been listening all morning long and I have some answers for you guys.
Yes.
So, first one, I think you kind of said like cameras, right?
Yes.
So here's the deal, Clay, right? Okay, so yes, normally there are cameras in that garage. Listen, there are 140,000 square feet of social engagement areas inside the garage stalls, right? Fans can walk through there. They can see teams working on the cars. So yes, there are cameras. But because of the current climate, these cars are literally coming off the haulers. They aren't even going into the garage. They're going straight to tech, and then they're going out to the grid. So what NASCAR has said, they're not confirming how many cameras are actually on in those garages right now, but they haven't reactivated or put those cameras back because they're not needed. The cars aren't going into the garage. They're not working on the cars. If they fail tech, that's when they'll go into the garage, but for no other reason. And obviously with the rain delay, that's where they had to be parked. So as far as cameras, I was shocked when I found it. I'm like, there's cameras everywhere. But I reached out to a couple of crew chiefs this morning, and that was the answer that I got, which makes sense to me, right? It makes sense why they wouldn't have those on.
Okay.
So that's the first.
Do you think, I'm going to ask a lawyer-like questions here because this is good information. Do you think that everybody would have known that those cameras were not on? And the reason why I ask that is I have no idea if I'm walking up to somebody who has like a Ring camera on their front door, whether it's functional or not. But my assumption is if I see a camera that it's working, right? So do you think the average person was aware that, hey, all these cameras may not be working if, you were walking by one?
I don't know the answer to that, right? I mean, I don't know the answer to that. And again, Clay, I mean, there's ways around these cameras, right? They're not necessarily like, I mean, there's these garages are huge. There's 40 cars. They just said that there's 140,000 square feet of social engagement area inside the garage area. So it's not like you're, you know, walking into this small little area. I don't know the answer to that. Listen, there's limited amount of people at the track right now. We know that. Everything is secure, right? People have to get, you know, their temperatures taken. It's only necessary personnel. So there's all of that, right? And I did hear you guys mention this morning about, like, you know, I know the size of a football stadium. Well, to kind of give you a perspective, Talladega is 270 acres. That's the infield. 270 acres compared to, like, Bryant-Denny Stadium, which is 13 acres. I looked this up this morning just to kind
of give
you guys.
That's impressive, by the way, that you have the – so it's a massive infield venue. Yes.
Huge, right? Now, the garage area is definitely smaller. It's secure. There's fences around them. But there are points, right, that you get into the garage. And they're not – they don't have security guards wrapped all the way around the fences. So what happened was most crews, most teams, everyone got released about 4 o'clock on Sunday. This is kind of the timeline I'm aware of because of the rain delay. And that's when the cars were pushed back into the garage. I believe, based on the statements that we've heard, this is when this article was found. It was found by a crew member. Bubba, according to what I've heard, did not see it. A crew member called NASCAR. Now, why would they tell people? Because I did hear you say this earlier. Why would they let people know before they found it? Well, because it's going to get out, right? And then if it gets out and people find out that NASCAR didn't say that this was found in the garage, that's going to look even worse, right? If NASCAR doesn't release this, because A, they have to make sure Bubba has extra security. When that car was moved back into the garage, they did check the car in the morning to make sure it had not been tampered with. They had extra security for Bubba. Whoever the crew guy that found this, obviously he's going to talk. The team needs to know. NASCAR officials got involved. So that's why they openly kind of told everyone that this was happened. NASCAR's pretty small area. People do talk it would have gotten out. I feel like it would have. The FBI is involved. So in terms of what they can say and what they can't say, I mean, you know this better than most, right? I mean, you've got to kind of be a little bit careful about what you say as the investigation is going on. Am I surprised that there wasn't some kind of answer yesterday? A little, but I also thought maybe, like, let's let the race happen. And let's get everything in a row, and then let's move forward. I would expect that we're definitely going to hear something today. Something else I want to just kind of mention, and it's about Bubba, right? Because I know all that social media stuff out there right now, Clay, people are kind of, you know, they're insinuating that he or teams may have had something to do with it. And I like many people, I definitely in a lot of situations have, like, you know, skepticisms and all those types of things. So I kind of thought about this in a way that made sense to me. And here it is. So Bubba's been in the sport since 2013, right? 2013. He lost his ride in 2017 and was able to fill in for Eric Almirola at Richard Petty Motorsports when Eric got hurt. That is how he got this chance at Richard Petty Motorsports. Bubba has fought to stay in this sport. And until the last few weeks, he's actually avoided talking about race. He didn't want to be known as the black NASCAR driver. When George Floyd died, when he was murdered, that is when Bubba, and at first Bubba didn't want to talk about it, by the way. He didn't want to be that face, right? And then something changed and something awoke inside of him, and now he is. So my question is why, when we're actually making progress in this sport, like, he has been the face of progress. And this act of just disgust, it's a setback. So why would someone who's trying to make progress in a sport that he loves, he's got the support of everybody, I don't understand why people could even look at him and think that he would be responsible for this.
Well, I think they said that NASCAR said that he wasn't involved, right? That he wasn't
right,
there,
correct.
He didn't see it. So
he did not.
The idea that he would be involved, I think, would require a pretty good leap at this point, because if he didn't
right.
see it and he wasn't involved in turning it over to NASCAR –
right.
You would have to argue that you'd have to take a big leap for him to be involved. So,
right.
So that is something that is out there as a fact. Now, you said that you expect to hear something today. What makes you think that you're going to hear something today? Is that just based on your intuition, or is it like what are you hearing that makes you feel like today could be the day?
I would think that they would have to make some kind of statement. I'm not saying that I think we're going to find out today what happened, but I would think that there has to be some kind of statement, because, like, you and like me and like everybody that's calling into your show this morning, we do want answers. We want to know how this happened, why this happened, and who did this. And I would think that NASCAR would make some kind of statement, even if it's as simple as like, hey, we're continuing to move forward. We're still investigating. We're doing this. We're doing that. Not saying that we're going to get something like, you know, firm today, but I do think that NASCAR will make some kind of statement.
This is good info because you've been at Talladega. You understand it. I'm obviously not that familiar with it, but I look at all the stories like these and look for the facts to try to tie them together. Do we have any idea how many people? So all these cars get pulled back because of the rain delay, and they're put into garages. Let me just take a step back and ask this question. Does everybody have an individual garage with its own walls where, like, you would walk in and they would be like, okay, this is Bubba Wallace's garage. This is Jimmy Johnson's garage, right? Like, where you could see the car parked in there and you could, like, shut down your area? Or is it one larger room? Like, what do the garages look like at Talladega?
They are one large building that basically cars park next to each other. They have a stall entrance with a door that closes that stall, right? So each car can kind of pull in, but it is open. Now, I haven't been to the new Talladega garage, but I will tell you how every other garage that I've ever seen, these cars, they literally work right next to each other.
Like, so if you were standing, trying to visualize it. If you were standing inside of a garage,
another stall,
you can look into it. It's like a horse stall?
Correct. Yes, okay. But without like the sides. There's no sides, right? I mean, they just pull in. There's a garage that opens up, a garage door that opens up. You pull in, but you could literally walk. Like if I wanted to walk across from one car to the next, I could walk all the way down. Now, what I was told was that the truck drivers, the hauler drivers, they did bring they have like a crash cart in case they crash that they can bring the car into the garage. It's got all of your stuff on it. I was told that they brought those into the garage stall. So that's how you know. And often, and they are lined up in the garage based on points. So it's also the way that they park their haulers is based on points. So, yes, you do know that you would see the crash cart in there. You would see the 43 Richard Petty Motorsports. You would know that it was Bubba Wallace's garage. But the car did not actually go into that garage until the race was called around, 3:30, 4 o'clock on Sunday. That's when the car was brought into the garage.
Would the driver drive the car into the garage?
No. The cars, once it started raining, the cars on pit road were covered up and left there, and they cover them up to keep them out of the rain. And then the crew would push the car back to the garage. So Bubba would have had nothing to do with that. He was probably back at his hauler, at his motorhome, I should say.
So the crew pushes it back. So when you think about it, and I know you're not on the Bible here, but how many people do you think would have been able to have access to a garage like this from 4 p.m., let's say, when they get the cars back into the garage, until later that afternoon when it suddenly becomes a story? Like, are we talking 100 people, 200, 500? Like, what kind of number would you think that they...
Because
the reason why I bring that up is, in theory, that is your suspect group, right? If somebody did this, then it's got to be, we know, somebody who has access to these garages. How many people could have had access to the garages? Kind of a question I'm asking.
Yeah, not many right now. I mean, listen, there's always speculation that someone could have snuck in, right? That security could have been breached. We had, obviously, I don't know if you saw, there was a plane flying over with a banner that said defund NASCAR with the Confederate flag. There was apparently a couple of protests outside the racetrack on Sunday about the Confederate flag being removed. And so certainly, and I just mentioned 260 acres, right? I mean, someone could have breached security. So I think that's all that's, all of that is on the table right now. And that's obviously why the FBI is involved. This is much bigger than what NASCAR can do. And all of us want answers, right, Clay? I mean, this is a sport that I've covered for two decades. And with NASCAR, this is not a sport that you just kind of show up and you work 16 weeks or 20 weeks and then you go and you have an off season. We spend 40 weeks, 4 days a week, which is why one of the reasons so many people in the garage are taking this personally, because this is not just an attack on Bubba Wallace. This is an attack on every single person that is pushing for change in this sport. And this is, I mean, it's, you saw the drivers, the emotions are so raw and so real from everyone in that garage. And it's a very painful, painful thing that we've dealt with as a community this past weekend.
So I'm circling back around, but do you think it's hundreds? Like, would you think, like, oh, it's, you know, like, if you were setting an over-under, less than that?
Okay, so, yeah, so there's 40 cars, 40-ish cars, right? And then there's, you know, would they have 15 essential personnel. They also have some pit crew guys. So, yeah, I mean, I would say upwards of 100 total, right? But I don't know what the protocol was in specific terms with Talladega in terms of how many people were able to bring that car back.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. The cars were out on the grid during the rain delay for an extended period of time. Teams were back in their haulers. Drivers were at their motorhome. There was a long period of time where those cars, those garage stalls were open. I mean, there's a significant period of time where someone could have done this, right? Now, the amount of people that are allowed, quote unquote, are certainly smaller. There's no fans in the garage, even though there were fans in the stands. They're not allowed in the garage right now. So the personnel is limited, absolutely, which is why, I mean, as we mentioned, I don't think it, I mean, this should not be. The issue with the cameras, I think, is the biggest thing, right? Normally, those cameras would be on and operating because there are so many people around. And I believe Bubba Wallace's mom was on Sirius this past weekend, maybe last night, and said that she had heard that there was no video evidence. NASCAR did take a picture, from what I've heard, of this device, this noose that they found inside the garage. We have not seen that picture yet. And I know that's one thing that one of your callers asked about, but I have been told that there is a picture of it.
Would it be, so to me, I take a step back and let's think about it. Obviously, you want to catch who might have been responsible for this. If you can't catch who was responsible for this, then the next step to me is you need to have the people who discovered this go talk to the public, right, and answer questions, because there is going to be a lot of questions. And if you're not going to be charging someone with a crime, I think most people out there are going to say, okay, well, I want as much information about this as possible. Does that make sense to you? So if as the days go on, like in yesterday, you can at least argue, hey, the race is going on. Like it didn't really, like it would detract if you try to do an arrest, you know, 10 minutes before everybody starts to the race or whatever else. But to me today, and that's what I started off the show by saying, today is an integral day to trying to figure out what exactly happened in terms of this situation. If you can't resolve it today, then I think a lot of people start to say, okay, what actually is going on, right? Like that's the response that we're going to see.
I agree with you 100%, Clay. I mean, we all want answers, right? I mean, I agree with you 100%. I think every single person, whether you're a NASCAR fan or not, wants answers, because this is disgusting display that yes, I mean, and it can't just go away, right? We need to find out what happened. I agree with you 100%. I you know, from what I've heard, they've questioned people. Again, because listen, people talk, right? And if this something happened in this garage, or if someone was involved in this, I do believe it's going to get out. I do not believe that this is going to, this certainly not going to go away. It's not, right? And I agree with you. We do need answers.
Can you come back? I guess I had a couple more questions for you. We're talking to Shannon Spake about this huge NASCAR story.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
All right, Shannon, I got this a lot online. I bet you have gotten it as well. Is it possible that this is neither a intentional hoax nor a noose, that this could be a rope that potentially is used in the garages that just happened to be in the Bubba Wallace vicinity, and people were particularly sensitive and nervous, and so they believed that it might be a threat when in reality it could have just been a rope? In other words, there's a lot of people out there who say, I'm skeptical, I don't believe it. There's a lot of people who say, I do believe it. Is it possible it's somewhere in between those two things?
I would really, my gut tells me, because obviously this is something that I thought of as well, because you just, like, you go, I can't imagine.
It's just so insanely stupid, right? That someone would do this, because if someone did it, it's racist, but you're risking your career. You'd be banned for NASCAR from life, and you would also probably go to jail, all for what exactly? Okay, so if there are lots of people out there who are like, oh, this is clearly like a racist act, this is unacceptable, and everybody would agree if that's the case, I think almost entirely in my audience, there are also people out there who say, you know, I'm just naturally skeptical. And then is there a middle ground where it's an abundance of caution, and then you look at it and you're like, I'm not sure what might have been going on, because there are pictures out there that are circulating on the internet of different ropes and different things, and yep. I'm sure there are lots of different ropes involved. I'm not an expert. I don't know how you fix cars and what you do, but I'm sure there are ropes involved in that. Is it possible that it's not criminal, that it was a abundance of caution? Is there any possibility of that?
Yeah, I again, Clay, I, you know, my mind immediately went like, I really hope that this is not true. I hope it's a mistake. I hope it's something that was just, you know, in there. I would doubt. Listen, I think that they're capable human beings that walked into that garage, and I think that they know the difference between just a rope hanging there and something that looks like a noose, right? I think that they would be able to differentiate between those two. Now, Steve Phelps, who's the president of NASCAR, was asked if this was the rope, because they actually have ropes that, that pull the garage stalls down.
Yes.
You know, like your garage, so it would hang on to the outside of the clamp or whatever that you would pull down. And so there are ropes, and he was asked if it was that rope, and he did not answer that question. He would not answer that question. So again, I don't know what it looks like, because I haven't seen a picture, and no one has seen the picture. Is it possible that there might have been something hanging in there that was a rope from the outside of the garage or something that went on the car? Sure. But I would like to think that someone who looks at it would know the difference between that and know the difference between what a noose looks like hanging in someone's garage. And if they're going to go and say that this is the specific thing that it was and bring this attention and get the FBI involved and get, you know, extra security around Bubba, I would hope that they would know the difference between one and the other.
Amen. But also, you can see a situation where if you're hyper on alert, mm-hmm. where you're like, you're going to be more apprehensive than you ordinarily would given the situation, which is reasonable. I this is why, by the way, it's so incumbent upon NASCAR to come out, I think today, honestly, and answer the question about what exactly is the story here. And also release the picture, right? If there is a picture of this noose, what is it? You know, what does it look like? Is it similar to the rope that would have been used to pull the garage door down? Is it something right. totally different than that? That would go a long way towards answering these questions as well.
I'm on board with you, you know, and I'm with everyone else. I want answers as well. I mean, this is a sport that I've been a part of and have, you know, care very much about and have, I mean, this is a sport that I'm a part of, you know, and so I certainly want answers as well. Again, I hope that they would know the difference between the two and this stuff, if it was a mistake, I would venture to say that they would err on the side of caution rather than just kind of going forward and moving forward with something as disgusting as what they've said that was in this garage. So that's kind of where I lay right now. And but I want answers just as much as everybody else.
Everybody does. Shannon, you're fantastic. Thank you for getting up early with us. As always, we will talk to you hopefully next week, and we'll have some resolution on this.
Okay. Thanks, Clay.
That's Shannon Spake. We'll talk about this a little bit more when we come back. We'll also update you on the poll results, which is dumber, changing the name of the Masters, or Brett Favre saying about Colin Kaepernick in comparison to Pat Tillman. They both did something similar. Which is dumber? I'll update you. It's the poll question potentially of the decade. This is Outkick. Go download, subscribe to the podcast here. Thanks for hanging with us on Fox Sports Radio. I'm trying to hang on here. I got two more seconds.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Let's go ahead and bring in my guy, Petros Papadakis, AM 570 LA Sports at the old P on Twitter. Petros, my man, baseball, it feels like may finally be back. Are you ecstatic? Are you excited? Are you sitting shirtless right now, filled with anticipation and glee and glory?
I am sitting shirtless, and I am filled with something, but it's not that. I am so tired of the emotional pendulum that the baseball situation is, and somebody told me exactly what it was, a couple people. Smart baseball types told me exactly what it was like weeks ago, and I still just went along. It's like having a girlfriend that just loves to pull on your emotional cords, and you just go along with it because you know the end result is going to be makeup sex or something, so you just go along with all the emotional machinations, and that's what we've been doing with baseball. But somebody told me a long time ago, look, this is just working like one of those arbitrations does, where it gets really nasty between both sides, and then eventually they make a deal, or it comes to whatever conclusion. And usually we don't know what happens behind those closed doors in those arbitration meetings. I know that most of the players just want to punch everybody when they come out of one of those. But we have to be witness to the whole thing. And that's been difficult, because it put a really sour taste in people's mouth, and they don't like the back and forth. They don't like to see the tit for tat between very wealthy people who don't seem to be arguing about health issues. We talk about this all the time. It's about money and how to split it up, and it's a turnoff. But when we get it, we'll get it, and we'll have live sports on a daily basis that people want to and need to and love to celebrate. So I think we'll forgive them all if it comes back, but if it doesn't, ooh, that'll be tough to forgive.
Yeah, no kidding. We're talking to Petros Papadakis, AM 570 LA Sports. You played college football, and now every day we have updates on the percentage of players that are testing positive and everything surrounding that. I know it's hard to think about, but it appears, I talk to people, and I'm sure you have too, at LSU and Clemson, that the guys are getting infected, not from working out and getting back to playing football, but because they're on campus and they can go out to bars or house parties and chase girls. That might be the biggest threat in terms of guys getting this virus. When you take it back in time, when you were 18, 19, 20 years old, when you were the captain of USC's football team, can you imagine if you'd been sent home, told to stay at home for months, and then suddenly you get back on campus and there's suddenly lots of girls around and everything else? How hard would it have been to get your teammates not to go to parties and not to be out hanging out with those girls?
Impossible.
Yeah.
You would have to have a beach cruiser bike patrol with a bunch of, ball boys and managers and stuff, just to be out there narking on people. And I've seen that before on like a big Thursday night where the coach says, I don't want anybody out and this and that. And we leave on Friday morning or something. And they'll send out a big narc kind of brigade to go write down names and figure out who's doing what.
It's like bed check.
Yeah. I mean, it would really be difficult. I mean, look, when you're a 20-year-old college football player and you run and jump and lift, and you can basically do most things physically that people can't do, and you're young and you feel invincible and you think you can jump over a car and you think you're going to live forever and you're never going to be stopped and nothing bad is ever going to happen. I mean, that's really what goes through the minds of these young people, and it's hard to get them to acquiesce. Now, the one thing is, when I see a bunch of people have COVID on a team, like a lot of people gasp, and it's not a death sentence. You know, they're not going to die.
They're mostly asymptomatic.
They're going to be fine. Now, if there's an older person who's immune deficient or something around the football team, that's a concern. And that's something that these programs have to deal with. But I wasn't super concerned that it was happening right now. I would think it's better to get it out of the way, these outbreaks, now, so teams can figure out how to deal with it, how to go forward, how to separate players. But it's damn near impossible to tell college kids not to interact with each other. It's almost futile. And I don't know how I would go about doing it as a young guy. I guess
and as a team captain, I mean, do you think that the coaches come to you and say, look, because the one hand, there's an argument that everybody getting exposed to the coronavirus, especially when you're young and you're under greater danger from the flu or pneumonia, and most of the time the cases are asymptomatic, that everybody getting exposed during the training camp era, basically, right now, is not necessarily an awful thing, because it means that nobody's going to get sick during the season, right? You can make that argument. And that
you
it's going
could,
to be.
But I don't, look, we started talking in the Fox world yesterday about college football. And there's still a lot of big questions, but we want to do college football, you know? And we got the teams together and we started having some outbreaks. So football in itself is about overcoming adversity. It's not about things being perfect. It's not about having everything be executed in the exact proper way every time. It's about having things get all messed up and overcoming that adversity. That is football, within a game, within a practice, within a lifetime, within a season. It's about overcoming stuff. So this is a hill that they have to climb. But the guys are okay. You know, that's the one thing I want to emphasize, because there's so much information and we're getting so confused all the time. The players are going to be fine. No one is in danger. The players are safer with their teammates than they are, you know, back at home going to parties. Now, campus is a whole different thing. And the funny thing is it's the middle of the summer. You know, usually we're all alone on campus. I know at USC, Clay, I mean, we were alone on campus in the summertime. That's a commuter school in many ways, you know, unless there's a football game, a home game, which is like, what, 7 games a year on a Saturday. Most people go home on the weekends at USC, and they're gone during the summer. I mean, we couldn't find a party to go to if we wanted to. We used to drink 40s on the practice field and stare at each other and then go back the next day and there'd be empty 40 bottles and the strength coach would be mother effing some homeless. The homeless are leaving their bottles out here. We'd laugh. But, you know, there wasn't anybody to party with.
It is really funny. So, but to me, what this is a little bit of a window of what the return of college is going to be like, because you've got all these kids that by and large have been at home in mom and dad's apartment or condo or house, wherever you live when you're not in college. And then you get back to a college campus and your favorite bar and your girls are out there and everybody's going to rush out. And there's going to be a huge spike in initial infections. And football is reflective of that as opposed to like an outlier, right? If football players are just reflecting what's likely to happen elsewhere, what already has happened at Clemson and LSU is likely to happen elsewhere. And I don't know, I guess what I'm saying is, short of saying like, hey, we're going to start doing bed checks, and maybe that's the answer. Maybe they're going to have to, for football season, really restrict these guys, much like is happening on the NBA with their bubble. Maybe they're going to have to restrict their social activity in a way that ordinarily is not the case during the season. But if you're going to classrooms and you're going out and seeing taking care of your work, you would think that that is going to be challenging in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, it probably, if everything that's happening or being said is true, and we really are supposed to be that afraid of being together, and you know me, I'm as confused as ever about everything. I mean, I just I can barely keep my head above water informationally. But if all that stuff is true, we probably shouldn't have college and shouldn't have football in the fall, if all that stuff is true. But we've been misled a few times during this age of coronavirus, as you know. So I believe that no matter what, they're going to put kids on campus and try to play. Because otherwise, and John Wilner wrote this the other day too, otherwise the whole thing economically collapses. And I don't think that colleges will allow that to happen to themselves, or will try to keep themselves from having that fate. I'm not sure if it's right or wrong or what the result is going to be, but without kids in dorms and kids on campus, colleges can't make money and they can't sustain their utopian societies for long at all. So they're going to give it a try, and Godspeed. I hope it works out, because I need college football in my life. We all do. And I hope it's safe, and I hope we can pull it off.
All right, I got a poll question for you. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but it is maybe the most difficult poll question of all time. All right?
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah, okay. So there now are 17,000 people that have voted in the, hour and change since it's been up. Which is the dumber woke statement from yesterday? Deadspin arguing the Masters should have to change its name because of racism. Or we're going to play this audio for you. I don't know if you've heard the audio. Here's Brett Favre talking about Pat Tillman and Colin Kaepernick. Well, probably some people are waking up right now and haven't heard it. It's only like 20 seconds. Here it is.
You know, I can only think of right off the top of my head, Pat Tillman's another guy who did something, you know, similar. And we regard him as a hero. So I assume that hero status will be stamped with Kaepernick as well.
All right. Which is dumber? Arguing that the Masters have to change their name or Brett Favre comparing Pat Tillman and Colin Kaepernick?
Well, the whole thing is, you know,
they're both dumb.
None of it makes sense because the Pat Tillman Kaepernick, I mean, I played against Pat Tillman. I know his family. Part of what happened with Pat Tillman was, you know, part of the reason the anthem's a problem, you know, military promotion through the NFL and the friendly fire and, you know, the military kind of being misleading, not kind of, about the way he died and all that. It's convoluted there. I love Pat Tillman and I can't believe his sacrifice. And I think about him all the time. I think about playing against him. So that's a complicated thing for me. The Masters is about being a master of golf, right?
Yes.
Okay. Like a karate master? Is that
a chess grandmaster?
Yeah.
Someone who has a master's degree.
You know, I mean, I don't think Favre could answer that question in any way that it wouldn't have pissed somebody off. Honestly, I think making that comparison is really volatile to many people.
So you're going Masters?
It's
a great question because you're having
like
such difficulty.
You're a chess master, a master of chess,
a master card, master lock, master key, master bedroom.
I'm going to go with master. But then again, they're trying to get somebody was trying to get after White Jesus.
I saw that
the other day. And, I mean, in the Greek church, we have a lot of icons and stuff, like the Catholics. And our Jesus is kind of swarthy.
As opposed to being white.
Well, Jesus wasn't white.
He was...
You know, they do have a point. You know, Jesus was not a white dude. He was a pretty swarthy guy. But, you know, I mean, people take liberties when they paint things, I guess. Our Jesus is pretty swarthy. Jesus can have whatever skin color people want. I mean,
it doesn't really impact me very much. Master's name change, 51% saying the Master's name change is the dumbest. 49%.
What would they
want
to change it to? Good at golf?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they could just call it Augusta National. It's really dumb. Petros Papadakis, I got to get to break.
I got an idea.
Can you come back? You want to come back
with your idea? No, just two words for the Masters. Ready?
Yes.
Golf tournament.
Golf tournament. Brilliant. We'll talk to Petros next week. He seemed like he was in pretty good mood at the old P.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.